The National Academy of Public Administration has elected a new class of fellows to study and report to Congress on some of the most complex management and policy issues in government. Federal News Radio is talking with the new fellows. Today, we meet Rafael Boris. Now, until recently, he was the Undersecretary for Management at the Homeland Security Department. He's now a senior advisor at A.T. Kearney. Rafael, welcome.
Good morning, Emily.
So what are your ambitions as a NAPA fellow? What do you hope to do?
Well, you know, becoming a NAPA fellow is just a great honor, a great distinction. And this is a continuing opportunity for me to contribute to the public service and the public good in the federal government and join a tremendous cadre of fellows to continue to explore ways in which we can improve public management.
Have you gotten any directions yet? Has there just been an announcement, or are you actually starting to do work or meet the other fellows?
Well, no. On the 13th, at NAPA's annual meeting, I will be inducted as a fellow. So I've already been warned that once I become inducted and fellow, there'll be wonderful opportunities to continue to contribute.
And so you've been out of government for just a few months now. With this fresh perspective, how do you are you starting to see government differently than when you were deep at DHS, mired in it?
Well, yeah, you know, this is not the first time that I've come and gone from the federal government, but it does give you some time to sort of sit back. I've been spending a lot of time with commercial entities here in the U.S. Mostly, and I've had an opportunity to really dig into some of what are the best practices of the commercial space. And it's given me a lot of time to think about how some of those best practices, whether it be in procurement or IT or organizational transformation, et cetera, can be adapted into the public space. So it's been a great time for contemplation.
And so let me ask you first, I want to return to that, but first a little bit about the work that you did at DHS. You know, the agency has repeatedly struggled with some of the, as we said, the toughest, most complex management and policy issues in government. One of them that most recently came to attention was employees' low morale and their sort of frustration with senior leaders. It was apparent in the Office of Personnel Management's Employee Viewpoint Survey. If that were one of the problems that you got to tackle from the outside as a NAPA fellow, how would you approach it?
That's a great question. You know, DHS is a highly decentralized and distributed organization with a very small percentage, if you think about it. Probably 10% of DHS employees reside in Washington. So the first thing is, it's not a Washington, D.C. problem. They will not be corrected solely by concentrating on D.C. You really have to look at it, as I say, sort of from the outside in. Look at DHS and its many, many incarnations all over the country, actually all over the world. And I believe, and having worked with some commercial entities, you know, it really is a ground up, and it takes time. I always say, you know, these kinds of efforts need both time and space, and working with employees, because as I look at the EVS study, to me, many of the issues raised by our employees, which are good, legitimate issues, are much more local issues. They have to do with supervision. They have to do with the extent to which poor performers are dealt with, and promotions are given on a fair basis. So these are very localized issues. So certainly there are big, broad DHS issues, but you've got to attract this at the front line of the organization and not get caught up into a very D.C.-centric solution-based approach.
Why is that something that is so difficult to fix? Because it does seem like if there is a local issue, and if it is between employees and perhaps their supervisor or the person above their supervisor, there's face-to-face, and they can directly address those issues. But it seems like those are the persistent ones.
They are, and they're not unique to DHS. Certainly, the scores at DHS indicate the seriousness of the concerns of the employees. But if you look across most of the federal agencies, indeed, if you look at many organizations, even outside of federal government, Emily, you'll find that the things that it's sort of like what Tip O'Neill used to say about politics. It's all local. These kinds of issues are very localized, and they're very, very difficult. You're talking about some of the most basic human responses in interpersonal relationships and communication. We'd love to think that it's very easy to solve these communication problems, for example. But the fact of the matter is, because we have communication problems, oftentimes supervisors and employees do not talk as often as they need to. They don't have regular engagement. They don't do the kinds of things that have to be done to be able to deal with the systemic problems in the organization, even if it's localized. So these are longstanding problems that, in many ways, I would say they're part of the societal problems. And the more that we become disconnected by the use of mobile technology and other forms of technology, I think we're cutting into the time that people spend simply talking to one another.
You said that you've been able to observe some of the best practices at commercial entities. Are there any that you see at these entities that can help a big sprawling organization like DHS, something that could be copied or perhaps scaled up for such a large government institution?
Well, I think some of the practices that I've seen in the commercial side, again, Emily, they're not very different. But what we fail to recognize when we talk about this on an annual basis, these surveys come out on an annual basis, so it forces sort of a annual review and measuring progress. These initiatives take time, and we really need to take the long view. There are some serious concerns raised by employees at DHS, and they will not be fixed overnight, and they will not be fixed in the cycle in which we use the employee value survey. And when you look at some of the best commercial organizations that have dedicated themselves to improving morale around improving productivity, all of them take time.
Another issue that DHS has faced, and it's been worse than it is right now, but is turmoil or turnover at the top and vacancies. And you know, just a week or so ago, it was announced that the person who filled your shoes after you left is now leaving, and the Senate hasn't yet confirmed a successor. How does that contribute, or does it, to what's going on at DHS?
Well, you know, it certainly is important, and the Secretary and the Deputy Secretary have committed themselves to finding high-quality, talented people to fill those vacancies, and I don't spend too much time paying attention to Homeland Security these days, but my general sense is they filled quite a few number of vacancies. But also, I would say, you know, DHS, when it was formed back in 2003, brought a tremendous number of employees, obviously, from other agencies, many of them that were very senior. And if you look now 10, 11, 12 years in, you're going through a cycle where many employees who had previous careers at Department of Defense or Department of Treasury or Justice and have now pulled 10, 12 years at DHS, it's that natural moment of time when they're looking to move on. I talked to many of these people when I was at DHS, and I think it's just part of that natural evolution, and there will be a new cadre of leaders that will either fleet up or join the Department of Homeland Security, and, so I'm optimistic long-term, but this will not, there's no panacea. You know, the Secretary can fill every single vacancy tomorrow, and it's not going to have a material effect the day after tomorrow.
We're speaking with Rafael Borras, a former DHS Undersecretary for Management and now part of the new class of fellows at the National Academy of Public Administration. The Academy has given us your bio, and I want to read the first line. It says, Rafael Borras is a Hispanic American with 30 years of management experience tackling the challenges that face cities, federal agencies, and private sector companies. The first descriptor is your ethnicity as a Hispanic American, and that's something that the government has really struggled to do, to recruit Latinos and to keep them and promote them to the higher rungs. How important is that to you?
Well, you know, increasingly as I get older and have the opportunity to travel and meet younger folks, particularly younger Latinos, but younger African American and women in all groups, I recognize the responsibility that I have, having been, you know, a person who grew up in New York City in the Bronx, and was able to achieve, I think, you know, wonderful opportunities in the public and private sector, that responsibility to give back. So increasingly, it is something that is important to me because I recognize it's an important symbol and an important motivator to others.
And how do you think the government could do a better job, particularly with Latinos, of encouraging them to have careers in government?
Well, more broadly speaking, it's we need to learn how to talk about the call to service. You know, I grew up at a time, although I was a little young, but was certainly influenced at a very, very early age, or at least became aware of that call for service that then-President John Kennedy called for. I was growing up in New York City, where Mayor Lindsay became mayor, and there was another spur of the commitment to public service. There was all of the turmoil in the late 1960s around the protest of war and the civil rights movement. There were all these movements that spoke to me and created a calling around public service that really was deep-seated in me at a very, very early age. And we need to learn in this this society how to talk about public service and what it means. It's something that has to come from within. It's not just a job. It's for me, it's always been a vocation. Even when I'm in the private sector, I am very mindful of my responsibility and my commitment to serve the public.